All right, you guys can come on in. You can grab your seats, and we will go ahead and get started here. In case you missed announcements, my name is David, and I am the small groups director here at Severn, and occasionally I get the opportunity and the privilege to speak, and it really is an honor today to be up here, and I'm excited to see what God decides to do today. But over the past few weeks, if you've been here, we've been going through a series called Signs, and we've been looking at the different signs that Jesus did that are recorded in the book of John. And John was an eyewitness to a lot of things that Jesus did. He even said himself that he did so many things that aren't even written in the book of John, but he recorded these specific signs for one reason, and that's that we would believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and in believing in him, we would find life. So that's why we're looking at the sign today that we're looking at. It was written so that we can see Jesus more clearly and that we can find life in him. And we're going to be in John chapter 11 today, and we're going to be looking at a story about a guy named Lazarus. And spoiler alert on the front end, this story is about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. So sorry if you've never heard the story before. I have spoiled the ending for you, and it's ruined. But I saved you a little bit of stress. You don't have to worry what's going to happen the whole time. So we'll call it even, and we'll get going here. But I'm going to summarize kind of the beginning of John 11, and then we're going to jump in and read the text more towards the middle. But at the beginning of the story, we meet this family. It's a guy named Lazarus and his sisters Martha and Mary. And this family is a family that's extremely close with Jesus. And we're actually told that specifically how much he loves them, and not just in the sense that he loves the world, but that they have a personal relationship with him, and that they're good friends with Jesus. And the story starts off with Lazarus being sick. And it's a bad kind of sick. It's so bad that the sisters send a message to Jesus, who's not with him at the time. They send him a message and say, hey, Lazarus is sick. You know, obviously hoping that he would do something about it, that he would come and do something about it. But as Jesus so often does, he does something we wouldn't expect when he gets that urgent message, and he waits. Jesus delays for a full 2 days before heading down to Bethany, which is the town where his family lives. And by the time he gets there, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. So not the best start to the story. And just for a moment, I think it'd be helpful if we kind of thought through what that must have been like for Lazarus, who this is Jesus' friend. You know, we're told how much Jesus loves him. And he's witnessed Jesus and heard about Jesus healing all kinds of people who would have been total strangers to Jesus, who might even be considered enemies to Jesus. So he's got to be thinking, you know, I'm Jesus' friend. I'm going to be all right. You know, this is going to be okay. But then Jesus delays. Jesus doesn't show up. And Lazarus dies. So Jesus has waited until the worst case scenario has happened. A pretty hopeless situation is now what Lazarus is sitting in because he's dead. But Jesus didn't make a mistake whenever he waited. He had a plan and he showed up exactly when he meant to. And this actually brings us to our first idea today, which is number one, that Jesus allows pain. This is nobody's favorite idea. None of you guys are going to go home today with a t-shirt that says Jesus allows pain. This is not our favorite idea. But I think we can all attest to the truth of this statement. Because there's nobody in this building, there's nobody in this world, for that matter, who goes through life with no pain. And I'm sure that there's people in here today even. I know that there's people in here today who are dealing with the loss of a loved one. Who you're dealing with broken relationships in your life. Or maybe you're dealing with anxiety or depression or health issues, or someone you love is dealing with health issues. And I can't stand up here and pretend that I know exactly what it's like to be you. I don't. I don't know exactly what it's like to experience the pain that you're experiencing. And I can't stand up here. I think it'd be foolish for me to pretend like I have all the answers as to why that has happened. We so often don't know why things are happening. But what I do know is that I've never experienced pain or hopelessness like this family must have felt whenever their friend Jesus didn't show up and Lazarus died. And I think it'd be nice, you know, if we could read God's plan for our own lives like we can read this story, because, again, we know the end. I already ruined that for you. He's going to bring Lazarus back. You know, it's going to be okay. People are going to believe in him. And Jesus, you know, everything's going to be good. Jesus is going to be glorified. But I think when we know the end of the story like that, it can cause us to kind of skim past or glaze over the pain that this family felt. And just again for a second, think about what it was like for Lazarus to be laying on his sickbed, waiting for his friend Jesus to come through the door and make everything better, only to never see his friend Jesus come through the door. And think about what it was like for those sisters who are sitting next to their brother's sickbed. They're probably taking care of him. They know they sent the message to Jesus. They know he got it, but nothing changes. And then Lazarus dies. And I think when we skim past that, what we miss how real and how human these people are and how real this situation is, how it can speak into our reality. Because I know there's people here today who can relate to that kind of pain. And so often when we feel that kind of pain, we see it as a sign. We see it as a sign that Jesus or God doesn't care about us or that he's angry at us. And I just want to remind us today that Lazarus was a guy Jesus loved who was his friend. And that's the guy who got sick and died in this story. And these sisters were Jesus' friends who he loved, and they're the ones who lost a loved one. And this didn't happen because God was angry at them or because they messed up. It wasn't like, you know, Lazarus hasn't read his Bible in 3 days, so this is why it happened. Or, you know, the sisters hadn't prayed in the past week, so that's why this happened. No, Jesus had such a bigger plan and a bigger purpose than just to watch people he loved suffer for no reason. He had a plan and a purpose that they never would have guessed. No one would have ever guessed. The sisters weren't even asking for. You know, they wanted healing. They wanted pain relief, which so would I. You know, we want pain relief when we go through pain. But so often we can sometimes look back in our life and actually see where God has used pain or used difficult circumstances to grow us in a way that we never would have grown otherwise, if he'd removed the pain when we wanted him to, or if he'd never allowed it to come in the first place. And this topic actually came up at my small group 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about, me and a couple of the guys actually were talking about how we can look back at our journals, which, yes, if you're a man, you can have a journal, believe it or not. It's called a man journal. And I think that if you can use a urinal, you can use a journal. That's my opinion. I made that up. You can't steal that. Intellectual property. But anyways, we were talking about how we could look back at times in our life, whether it was one of our kids were sick, or we had a job situation that we hated, and it was just a really difficult job situation, or a time in life where we were just angry and asking why, and we could look back now and see how God used it to grow us. But in the middle of that pain, all we were asking was why. We wanted pain relief. We wanted it to end. And what's interesting about this story with Lazarus is that Jesus didn't come to provide less than pain relief, because he was going to bring Lazarus back. But he came to provide so much more than pain relief, because he was going to provide himself. People were going to see him for who he really was, and this family was going to grow in a way and be a part of something. They were going to grow in a way they never could have otherwise and be a part of something so much bigger than themselves and so much bigger than anything they would have ever asked for, ever planned. And the way they would grow wouldn't have happened if they hadn't gone through this circumstance. But understandably, when Jesus shows up late, the sisters have some questions. And they are very easy to relate to because they ask the same question that all of us would have asked or probably have asked at some point in life. But they say the same thing. They say, Jesus, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. My brother wouldn't have died. They're basically saying, Jesus, where were you? You know, don't you care? And the thing is, they're right. If Jesus had been there, that wouldn't have happened. He could have easily healed Lazarus, you know. He's healing people left and right when you see her on earth. But even knowing what he was about to do, even knowing that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, I want to take a look at what Jesus did when he came to the tomb of his friend. I'm going to start reading in chapter 11, verse 32. It says, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and told him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her crying and the Jews who had come with her crying, he was angry in his spirit and deeply moved. Where have you put him? He asked. Lord, they told him, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, couldn't he who opened the blind man's eyes also have kept this man from dying? So Jesus, even knowing he was about to bring Lazarus back, even knowing that, he entered into the pain that his friends were feeling. And I think it's so important to note that he didn't have to do that. Jesus could have easily healed Lazarus from long range. You know, we saw a couple weeks ago, he healed an official's son, and he did that from a distance. There's no, like, range limit on Jesus' healing ability. Or Jesus could have brought Lazarus back, you know, as soon as he was in the area so that he got to come into a joyous celebration, you know, instead of having to go to a funeral. But what we see Jesus actually do is he goes to those who are mourning. He goes to the tomb of his friend, and he cries with them. Which, that's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. If you're looking for a memory verse, perfect one to start on. And jokes aside, there's a lot of power in that verse. Think about that for 1 second. Just think about that. Jesus, God in the flesh, the Son of God, cries with people. And that actually brings us to our second idea today, and that's number two, that Jesus enters our pain. So this is the only sign in the book of John where we get this much insight into Jesus' emotions surrounding the sign. You know, we see him weeping, we see him angry, you know, so why all the detail? And why is Jesus so sad and so mad? And I think the first thing I want to point out is he's not angry at them for being sad. He's not angry at the people who are mourning the loss of Lazarus. And there's a couple of reasons why that's pretty easy to tell. First is that the Bible itself says there's a time to weep and to mourn. Secondly, Jesus joined in the crying. So that's the really obvious reason. He's not mad at them for being sad. No, Jesus, what he's angry at here, he's angry at the way that sin and death have ravaged the world that he created and the tyranny that it holds over the people who he loves. Because this might sound weird to you, but death isn't natural. We were not designed to die. God designed the world without that as part of the picture. Death came into the world through sin, and it's not a good thing. And Jesus is here entering into this pain that wasn't a part of his original design. So if you've ever asked the question, you know, if you've ever wondered, you know, God, why would you let this tragedy happen in my life? Don't you care? Or if you've ever asked the question, God, you know, where were you? If you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. Don't you care? Even when we don't know why, even whenever we have no understanding, we're perplexed by our circumstances, we have no idea what God is doing, even then, we can know that we have a God who cares enough to enter the pain that we feel. Because you don't see Jesus standing back with his arms crossed, you know, just stoic, standing back with his arms crossed saying, you know, I can't believe you're sad. You know, don't you know I'm in control? He doesn't say that. He enters into the pain with them. And Jesus wouldn't draw the line here when it came to entering into our pain. He wouldn't draw the line at going to a friend's funeral or losing a loved one. He would take it even further to a point that he had, you know, no reason to take it to other than that he cares for us. He took it to the point of his own death, experiencing death himself, feeling the pain of death. But even beyond that, in our place, he experienced being rejected by God the Father. And that's a pain that he took on himself that if we put our trust in him, we actually never have to experience. So that's how far he was willing to take it as far as entering into our pain. And in his tears, we see that he cares. So that's what we see in his tears. He does care about us, even when we don't feel like he does. But in his anger, we see that Jesus didn't just come down here. He didn't just come to feel the pain that we feel. He came to do something about it. And I want to read the rest of the story here, starting in verse 38. Then Jesus, angry in himself again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Remove the stone, Jesus said. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, Lord, he's already decaying. It's been 4 days. So again, just a hopeless situation. You know, it already stinks. The body's already decaying. Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd standing here, I said this, so they may believe you sent me. After he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips and with his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done, what Jesus had done. And this actually brings us to our third idea today, and that's number three, that Jesus is the solution to our pain. Because I'm going to slow down for just a second and talk about what we just read. Jesus just told a dead guy to come out of his tomb, and the dead guy listened. That's amazing. I think that one danger, there's plenty of benefits to being in the church for a long time and growing in the church, but one danger to that of being in the church for a long time, like I grew up in the church, one danger to that is stories like this become normalized to us. That is anything but normal, what just happened. Jesus just took a situation that was completely hopeless, that was full of pain, and he transformed that completely into a joy-giving, life-giving situation, just a joy-filled situation. He turned the whole thing on its head because in a strange turn of events, these people came to a funeral and they found life. First, they found it in the sense that Lazarus, the guy whose funeral it was alive, which that's pretty crazy. But if that wasn't crazy enough, they found the life because people saw Jesus for who he really was and those who believed in him found eternal life at this funeral. They found the solution to pain and to death. Because for any of us, for anyone who puts their trust in Jesus, who believes in Jesus, we actually can know the end of our story. We're promised a future with him where there is no more pain and there is no more suffering. And the pain and the suffering that we do experience and will experience on this broken world we live on, it'll pale in comparison to the glory of being with God. I like that. Whoops. So if you hear this story, though, and you think, hey, that's a pretty cool story, but I cannot relate to Lazarus because I'm breathing. Or maybe you think, I don't know if Jesus is still in the business of making dead people alive. I just want to tell you today that that's exactly what Jesus is still doing. And we can actually all relate to Lazarus, every single one of us. And I'll show you how. In the book of Ephesians, God's word tells us that every single one of us outside of Jesus is dead in our sin and trespasses. We're spiritually dead. So just like Lazarus was completely hopeless, completely helpless, couldn't do anything to save himself, he was dead. He was in a tomb. That's our condition outside of Jesus. Spiritually, we can do nothing to save ourselves. But I want to read you two verses out of Ephesians 2. This is Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. So right after explaining how outside of Jesus we're all spiritually dead, this is what it says. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though you were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace." So every single one of us is, in a sense, a spiritual Lazarus. We're spiritual dead. But the good news is we have a Savior who cares about us enough and who's powerful enough to make us alive because he is the life. And this life isn't just a future life. We receive this life now so that as we go through this life where we're facing pain, we have questions, we don't know why things are happening, we're in circumstances where we have no clue what God could possibly be doing in them. Even when we're going through that, we can have hope. We can have a confidence knowing that Jesus cares about us enough to be in the pain with us, to enter any pain that we go through, and he's powerful enough to make a way for every single trouble, every single trial that we face, all the pain we face can be completely undone because he is the solution to our pain. And I'm actually going to call up the response team. I'm going to call up the worship team. And we will wind down. At the end of the service today, during the last song, you'll have an opportunity to respond. That's what these people are up here for. They just want to talk to you, want to pray with you. That if you want to do that, they'll be here for that. But at the end of this story, you know, we see Jesus raise a dead man, and we see that some people believe. Some people believe and find life. But other people, it says, went and told the Pharisees. So they went, just for a second, think about that. They went and told on Jesus. They told on a guy who just brought someone back to life. Personally, I would be terrified to tear, even if I didn't like the guy he brought back. I would never go tell on someone. You have to be really, really dumb or really brave to do that. And these really dumb or really brave people, either one, they go and they tell the Pharisees, which is they're the religious Jewish leaders of the day. And they go tell them what Jesus did. And these leaders, they already had it out for Jesus. They already wanted to see him dead. They didn't like him. But in chapter 11, verse 53, we see that from that day forward, they plotted how they could kill him. So now they're putting pen to paper. They're making plans. And the ironic part of this story is that by bringing a dead man out of his tomb, making a dead man alive, Jesus took a few steps closer to his own tomb. Because eventually the Pharisees would get their way. Jesus would be killed. He'd be crucified in our place. And what Lazarus' resurrection is so clearly pointing forward to was Jesus' own resurrection, when he would defeat death once and for all, so that anyone who believes in him can have life. So over these past few weeks, you know, we've been looking at this series called Signs. We've been looking at all these things that Jesus has done so that we can see who he is and we can find life in him. And in the next couple days, we'll be looking at Jesus, the culmination of Jesus' life here on earth, his own death and his own resurrection. And my hope for you, what I would ask for you is just to look at these eyewitness accounts, look at this evidence that's put before you, and I would hope that you would see Jesus for who he really is, that he's the Son of God, and that in believing in him, you'd be able to find life. Because in a sense, these signs that we've been looking at, they're Jesus' own way. Just like he called out to Lazarus, he's calling out to you. He's saying, come out. You don't have to be dead anymore. You can have life. And if a dead guy can respond to Jesus, then so can you. Thanks.